Speaking of Gen AI, how do you ensure that your images are proven to not be generated by AI? And what are some of the challenges that photographers must overcome probably in the next few decades with Gen AI? How do you adapt to this paradigm shift?
Adapt, I think we will have to adapt. The genie, as they say, won't go back in the bottle, but you can ask more questions of Gen AI than the genie. I think it was only three, wasn't it? Three wishes. But you go on prompting for as long as you like with Gen AI. How do you future-proof? And I can reflect back to what we've done. We've got these cute QR codes in the form of cats that gives us the footage that does give you some evidence that they existed. We have cats that are literally, they're called chimera and some mosaicing, where you're almost the genetics of two cats in one, to give evidence of that. So I think photographers are going to progressively have to be very careful when they craft something through Photoshop that it doesn't just look like it's generative AI, that the evidence, the way it goes back into what we deem to be reality, and the way that is then changed or polluted or contaminated by the inability to distinguish whether something existed or didn't exist. What I'm saying is Gen AI has thrown up and will only get better. And it is in embryonic stages at the moment. And so what I'd probably say is, how do you future-proof? I think you've got to be interested in the world you're in. You've got to see how you yourself are reading different images differently. I was looking at a colleague's photograph that he'd done 10 years ago, thinking it doesn't look real. I knew it was real because he wouldn't have done the Gen AI wasn't there. But the point is that it was a studio shot where he'd really crafted the hat and his all the bits around him. And you just looked at it and didn't connect to it the same way that I would have done looking at the same picture, because it's now polluted by the proximity or the feeling the picture has to something that's written in 15 seconds by a prompt. And I think that this is interesting because I can see it myself without, in a sense, someone your age looking at it, shaped much more by these shifts are for you very much as you know them.
So, are you saying it's changed the way certain images?
It is change, and it'd be naive to think we're not changing. In fact, it's hard to do that.
Can we talk more about preparation? Because you've clearly read so much, obviously, about cats and the evolution of them, and you've had to go to Borneo to photograph these incredible pets and specimens. How do you research and plan ahead for a shoot, and what's involved that most people don't see? And how important is research for you in your practice?
Obviously, research is a very broad term. If you were in academia, you'd be talking about expanding the human knowledge, wouldn't you? Research sounds like just doing your homework and figuring out and understanding the concept. Gosh, there's multiple questions there. There's a side that to understand the meaning of a picture and how it resonates is to understand its need to understand the cultural context. If you're working with an animal, you have to have, you could almost say empathy. You have to be able to imagine what the animal's sensing. Is it stressed by the situation? Is it comforted by having its owner there? Or if it's a wild animal, an environment where it's not too scary and different. So research, obviously it's a term, we often say that, but I think that there's a difference between bringing current research papers, literally, and we've been doing that on this book. We've been working with Jonathan Lossos, an evolutionary biologist, and Morten Kvistebakk, who is a neuroscientist based at Oxford, in collaboration with this book. But we have gone through the papers and the journals to actually understand current thought around a number of aspects of feline meme, the name of my cat.
So you're researching and not research, you're looking at new scientific papers about cats before you go out into the field.
For example, we phoned up Dan O'Neill, who's a professor at the Royal Veterinary College, and he's the world leading in ethics. He talks about brachycephalic breeds with flat faces to look more cute and how that affects the health and how we should be looking for health over looks, the breeding for health over looks. So we will literally, I will phone up someone and just say, please advise. We asked ChatGPT, who are the world's two leading cat eye experts, and it threw up two names, and we got the email in the feed, and we email them back some questions and got a response the same day. So it's possible to use any tool to get there. But obviously, I think all dogs would say we research. They do, but it depends what you mean by research. Does it mean predicting better what's going to happen on the day? Or does it actually involve exploring further in depth the meaning and, I suppose, the history and the research around them?
And how do you find the subjects? Are you scrolling on like cat Instagram or Facebook, or how are you finding the owners and like contacting them, for example, the cat with two different colors on its face? Like, how did you find these fascinating subjects?
I think it reminds me, I was asked this by someone a few weeks back, what would you advise a person to do if they're starting a journey as a photographer? And I'd probably say, be curious and stay curious. But now I think be brave and reach out is probably what I'd say. In the post-pandemic era, I think it's progressively more scary for young people to reach out. And I was amazed how we would just phone people up around the world and they pretty much said, yes, let's come to us and we'll do that, or I'll come back and advise you. Collaboration is so important. For any of you young photographers out there, I'm afraid you only get braver if you take on the scary and talk to people, meet people, and you'll be amazed what doors open for you.
Definitely, very good advice. And have you been doing that approach since you've begun your journey? Have you always been that brave?
Brave is separate to have I actually reached out? Yes, I've reached and I got braver because I'm still survived and still here.
Yeah.
I started with horses and then I went to dogs. Then I went to modern. I've been through, this is my sixth main body of work done over several years. And we calculated what we probably reached out to 100 people for this book project. We didn't just go to a cat cafe and shoot 20 cats. We chose the cat. We chose when in the year for a long coat cat, it was going to have the best coat, when it was going to be in the best condition, the age, the so many factors. And for that, absolutely, we rely on everyone. I rely on April behind me as the partner in doing this, on the amazing wranglers we have, handling the wild animals or weather or advising us, and the show cats and the expertise. I think that's half the fun of it. The adventure, which is how you started this conversation earlier, is where you don't know the outcome of where you're going to go. And in aesthetics, interesting, there's a parallel. For us evolutionarily to adapt, we need to maintain continual new pathways in our neural networks. They call it plasticity. And so in aesthetics, there's this idea of disambiguation, where you're thrown into something that you, in some ways, you can't even discern, but it's the act of discerning it which makes you feel most alive. And the act of being most alive is in that moment when you're disambiguation. The prediction is important because we couldn't put one foot in front of the other. We'd fall over. So we need habits. We need prediction. Predictable things. But we also need to find that space which draws us out and pushes us down another avenue. Maybe a new skill set, maybe new people, and a new experience.
So is it embracing the uncertainty and then putting in the work to reduce the uncertainty once you're actually there with the subject and shooting it? Because you don't want it to go wrong on the shoot.
Well, I think uncertainty is part of life anyway. It's just which uncertainty you want and which adventure. You want it to be a bigger adventure, then you probably have to take the initiative. If you want to be obsessed about a hole in your carpet at home, then you can do that. But I think the problems don't go away.